pleasure to introduce our guest preacher this morning that really needs no introduction. Mike Durning has been with us many times over the years. He has a powerful message. I heard it first service already. Mike's just a great guy, just a good friend, but we share something in common. Mike and I are both retired mailmen, so I don't know what it is about mailmen and preaching, but Mike's going to preach for you this morning. The other thing I want to, a couple of things I want to share about Mike. Mike has 8 children and 28 grandchildren. 8 and 28. And Mike has been coming here, what would you say, how often you've been coming, like, how many years you've been coming? About 11 years he's been coming here. He has a great attitude. The number one thing I want you to know about Mike, though, is he has a real love for God, and he's really good at explaining God's word and putting it in perspective and pertaining to our life. So, Mike, would you help, please join me in welcoming Mike this morning.
Thank you, Dave.
Love you, man.
God bless you, man.
Thank you, David. All right, let's take our Bible this morning and open to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. David asked me this morning, he said, Mike, I want to share a few things with the folks about you. So how many children do you have? And I told him, how many grandchildren do you have? And I said, 28. And then I got to thinking about that. It's 29. And I think, you know, in my age, look, I'm just happy I remember to show up this morning, right? So, but I think it's 29, and then someone said, well, man, that must be awesome having that many grandchildren around. Well, you know what? They're in Nevada and California and North Carolina and Florida and Oklahoma and Tennessee. I mean, and they're just scattered all over the place. But that comes with the age in which we live. You know, I have a sister, and most of her children and grandchildren are just like right here, and that's awesome. But, you know, ours are just kind of scattered, like they're just kind of scattered everywhere. But we have a granddaughter that I married she and her husband like 3 years ago. I went down to Tennessee and performed their ceremony. And last year, I went down to visit my daughter in Tennessee. And my granddaughter's name is Bailey. And she said, oh, Bailey was just here yesterday. I'm on the phone with her on the drive down. Bailey was just here yesterday, but she's coming back. She's coming back tonight because Bailey's living in North Carolina, because you're going to be here. And I said, oh, my goodness, I hate that she's making that long trip and just to see me. And she goes, oh, she wants to see you. So I showed up, and Bailey came about an hour or two later, and she said, hi, Grandpa, I got a picture I want to show you. And it was a sonogram. And so a great grandbaby, you know. And so Bailey's husband works for Timken. He's an engineer for Timken. And Timken has this thing, you know, where they train a guy here for a few months, and they send him here for a few months. They send him here for a year. They send him there for a year. They do that kind of thing. And he's been going through that route since he started working for them and since they've been married. And so they've been in North Carolina, actually South Carolina. And then her baby was due like 2 weeks ago. And so we're just like waiting to hear about this new baby. And so my daughter said, well, Levi is here. Levi showed up. And guess what else? Ben got transferred for his final destination to Bucyrus, Ohio. So Bailey called me yesterday, and we're talking. She says, oh, hi, Grandpa. She said, I can't wait to see you. And she said, we found out we're going to be living like 30 minutes from you. And so now finally we get a grandbaby that lives nearby and a great grandbaby too. So we're looking forward to that a lot. All right, Ezekiel chapter 3. Bragging time's over, right? Bragging time's over. We can go around the room and everyone talk about the grandchildren. And forget the preaching then, because, you know, we just love talking about our grandbabies. But Ezekiel chapter 3, in Ezekiel chapter 3, we find a man by the name of Ezekiel. He wrote the book of Ezekiel. He was a prophet, but he was also a priest. And we'll be giving a little bit of that background as we start the message this morning. But what I want you to get about Ezekiel is that Ezekiel, although he was a priest, he was like part of the elite group, or he was very highly regarded because of his spiritual direction in the nation of Israel, which was the people of God. And Ezekiel, though, had a life-changing experience in the text that we're going to read here. And the title of the message this morning is, And I Sat Where They Sat. And that was Ezekiel's experience, that he sat where others sat. And when he did, it changed his life. And so that's the emphasis of the message this morning. But look in Ezekiel chapter 3, if you're following in your Bible, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. And what we start reading here, it's Ezekiel speaking, and he's talking about God speaking to him. And he says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Kebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." Now, I want to look back at verse number 15, and the last half of the verse says this, "And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them for 7 days." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. And I ask this morning, Lord, that as we open it together and receive the message that God has laid on this preacher's heart, that, Lord, you would open our hearts and our understanding to what you're saying here. And, Lord, make us receptive. I pray, Lord, that you'd make me receptive. I pray that, Lord, you would convict me and show me where I can learn this lesson here that you have for us. And Lord, that it too would change my life. So Lord, bless the time we share in the word today. Bless everyone here who hears this word. And God, may you be glorified by our response to it. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. The context of our passage this morning is the captivity period. That is, the Israelites are in captivity in Babylon. Long past in their history was their bondage in Egypt, their journey through the wilderness, their crossing the Jordan River, their establishment in the new land, the period of the judges, the period of the kings, the period of the divided kingdom. All that is in their past at this point. They'd gone through all this for centuries. And now they are a nation that had been taken captive by the nation of Babylon. And Babylon had gone to Jerusalem. They'd overthrown it. First they sieged it, and then they overthrew it. And they took with them not all of the people, but a great host of them. And they took them captives from Jerusalem and from Israel. They took them to the nation of Babylon, and particularly the city of Babylon, but the nation as well. And so this is where we find the timeline. This is where the setting is. Among the captives that were taken to Babylon was a man by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest. If we go back to chapter 1, we see immediately there that as it opens up the book that he is recognized and identified as a priest. And as I mentioned a minute ago before we read the scriptures, the priests were highly looked upon. They were highly regarded in the nation of Israel, and that was a normal thing, and it was an acceptable and proper thing, actually, because these men were the spiritual leaders for a people who were called the people of God. And so this is who Ezekiel was. But because he was a priest and a spiritual leader, he was also given perks, we might say. He was given special privileges even while he was in captivity. So all these captives who went over to Babylon, the majority of them were just common people. They were people who were farmers, who were merchants. They were just common people, and they were put into a place down near the river Kebar, which was a canal in Babylon. It was a river that had gone through there. They'd made into a canal as far as what I can understand from my research. And that was where they dwelt. And yet there were people like Ezekiel who didn't go down the Kibar, who didn't dwell among those common captives, but they were given a more privileged status. They were given a proper place to live or a nice place to live. They were given food rations and so forth. There were other people besides the priests who were given those privileges, people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were noble children. They were smart. They were the elite educationally, and they were being trained to learn the language of the Chaldeans and to serve Babylon in that regard. So they also had an elite form of status. But what we, for the purpose of our message this morning, we need to understand who Ezekiel was, and that's who he was. He was a priest, a spiritual leader, and yet he had a privileged status as a captive, okay? That's very important that we understand that. It's very important you understand that for the course we're taking in the message this morning, okay? Now, what we see take place in the life of Ezekiel is my outline for this morning. And so several things I want to share with you. The first thing that we see here is the commission that he has from God. And we're going to see that as we begin reading again in verse number 10. It says, "Moreover, God said to me, Son of man, all the words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God." So what we see here in the commission to Ezekiel is this. Ezekiel, this priest who had a privileged status in the city of Babylon, he was dwelling in his privileged home. God came to him, and the Spirit of God said to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, I have a mission for you, I have a purpose for you, and that is I want you to go down by the river Kibar and to dwell there among the common captives, among the common people." This was what God had told him to do. Now, try to understand and see what's taking place here as Ezekiel received this message from God and deciphered and contemplated what it was that God was asking him to do. God was asking him to leave his privileged status and go down and dwell among the captives who were not living so privileged. They were people who were down and out. They were people who were in captivity. They were people who were not happy. They were people who were just being grossly oppressed. And God was telling Ezekiel, "You're a priest, you're their spiritual leader. I want you to go down there and I want you to dwell among them." Now, he does tell him that he has a message for these people. He tells Ezekiel that. He said, "I'm going to give you a message to give to them." But the main emphasis of his commission was to just go there, go down there and dwell among those people. And so it's very important that we get what's going on in Ezekiel's thinking in his mind, at least what we would expect would be, when he received this commission from God. It's very important that we see that. Now, it began with personal instruction. He said to him in verse number 10, he said, "Son of man, all the words that I shall speak unto you, receive it in your heart and hear it with your ears." So he was saying to him, "Ezekiel, I'm not just talking here. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. But Ezekiel, I want you to get it down into your heart. I want you to understand that this is something that God wants you to do." Now, folks, listen here. We need to understand as the people of God that every single one of us, in some respect, is just like Ezekiel. We're children of God, and God has a mission for us. You say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Mike, wait a minute, Mike. I could not get up and speak like you're doing right now. Don't ask me to do that. Don't ask me to do that. I can't do what he's doing. I can't even do what Dave did. Dave got up and gave some announcements and made the introduction, and he did some other things. I can't do that. I can't do what Dottie did. I can't play the organ. I can't do like Kathy and lead the worship. I can't do like this guy on the drums and this guy on the guitar. Man, wasn't that awesome? And I can't do that." You say, "I can't do that." God is not saying that you have to do something beyond what you are capable of doing. Now, many times God directs us to do things beyond what we are capable of doing. And a whole lot of that is like up here, because there was a day that when God said to me, "I want you to preach," I was like, "God, I think you got the wrong guy. I think you had the wrong guy." And then God said, "No, just just humor me, Mike. And more specifically, just be obedient, Mike. And I found that God would use me in this capacity. And I never dreamed that. But see, God is able to do anything he wants to do through anyone he wants to do it, powerless that you might feel. But the point is, every one of us has something that God wants us to do. Every one of us does. Every single one of us. So when you come to church, don't just listen with your ears. Receive with your heart. Because it is when you open the Word of God or hear the Word of God preached, that is when God is going to speak to you and he's going to guide you and direct you. He will do this if you not only hear with your ears, but if you open with your heart. You must do that. Now, sometimes God will do that just bang, right out of the blue, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. When I was a kid, I went to Sunday school at the Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in New London. And I grew up Catholic, and that's where our family went to church. And so I went to Sunday school in the basement of that church. And for Sunday school, they would ship a bunch of nuns. That's kind of a crude way of saying it. But they would ship a bunch of nuns from Norwalk down to New London to teach us. And so I was sitting in Sunday school one morning. I was 10 or 11 years old, something like that. Fifth grade, I think, maybe sixth. And sitting in that class, I know exactly where I was sitting. I could take you there this morning. I could take anyone here. I could take you down there, and I could take you into the basement of that church, and I could show you right where this happened. That's the kind of impact it made on my life at 10 years of age. The nun was up there speaking, and she said this. I don't know what she was talking about. I don't know if she was reading from a book, if she was telling a story. I cannot tell you that. I cannot tell you the context of what she was doing. But she said this. She said these words, and this is exactly what she said. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And when she said that, the Spirit of God struck me right here. He struck me right here. And for the first time in my life, I realized God is talking to me. I was 10 years old. But I never forgot that. I never forgot that. I didn't get saved for maybe 10 or 11 years later. But I never forgot what was taking place there. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I didn't just hear with my ear. I received it with my heart. And when we receive with our hearts the message from God, it will change our lives. So when you show up for church, or when you open your Bible in the morning to do your Bible reading, say to God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Make that your prayer to God every day. Make that your prayer to God every Sunday when you step through those doors. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. And so Ezekiel had the commission here, and when God said for him to go, he said, open your heart and open your eyes, open your ears, because I have a message for you, but you need to get this into your heart. And it's very important that Ezekiel got that, and he did. And then the message was found in verse number 11. He said, go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. And so the message was God's message, thus saith the Lord. It was the message of God. And that's important because a lot of times, you know, We want to talk to people about something that's on our heart because we want to change them into our way of thinking, right? We do that with our kids, you know. We sit down with our kids and we open the Bible and say, let me teach you something from the Bible. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isn't that a wonderful message, kids? We're using God's word to teach them something we want them to know. We've all done that. We've all kind of used that. Preachers have done it from the pulpit, you know. Somebody oppresses them, you know, in the congregation. So he preaches a sermon that God gave him that blast that guy, you know. Pastor Justin would never do that. But some preachers do. Some preachers do. And so they're proclaiming the message of thus saith the preacher rather than thus saith the Lord. But this message here that God gave to Ezekiel, he's saying, I want you to tell these people this is a message from God. This is a message from God. And then he says to him in this verse, verse 11, he says, and this is for Ezekiel yet. He said, Ezekiel, whether they listen to you or they don't, Whether they obey you or they don't, you still proclaim this message. Now that's important that Ezekiel knew that. Because when Ezekiel, and he gives him that same sermon, he tells Ezekiel that same thing back after verse 18 and following. He says, I made you a watchman, and he says, some of those people are going to listen and some of those people aren't. The point is, you have to do what I've told you to do. Now, that's important for the message. That's important for us to get that. Because when God tells you and me, folks, when God tells you and me to do something, and we're worried about, oh, what if they don't listen to me? What if they do this? What if they don't respond? What if? God's like, that's beside the point. I'm telling you what to say. I'm telling you what to do. The important thing here is you and me. That's what God's saying. Are you listening? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to follow my plan? Folks, that's what's important. It's not the results. It's not the results. You know, I have the privilege of preaching in a number of different places. And it's always a privilege. It's always an honor. I'm blessed to be here today, honest. I count this a great privilege. And I told Pastor Justin, we texted back and forth about this occasion, about me coming here and preaching today. And I told him, I said, Pastor, I am so honored that you would entrust your pulpit to me. I am just honored by that. I'm blessed by that. And I mean that. It is always an honor to come here. It's always a blessing to me. I always enjoy it. And yet, what my purpose is to proclaim the Word of God. But I go to some churches, and it's all about numbers. You know, I show up and say, hey, how's church going? We had 420 last Sunday. We had 128 last Sunday. I mean, it's just like, bam, bam. That wasn't what I was really asking. See? And, you know, and I've had conversation with people about that kind of thing, and I indicate, you know, that really isn't that important. And then their response usually is something like this. Well, every number is a soul, and, you know, the more numbers you got, the more souls you're reaching. And they, you know, they can, and I get that. But then I'm reminded, folks, listen, I'm reminded it was Jesus who left the 99 and went after one. It was Jesus who left the 99 and went after one. Ministry is about individuals. Ministry is about proclaiming God's word and then God doing the work in the hearts of the individual. And that is where ministry lies right there. And so he told him, listen, whether they listen or not, that's beside the point, Ezekiel. You're supposed to go. That's your job. You need to go. And then Ezekiel went in spite of his own desires. Listen to verse 14. This is really something. He says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. You know what Ezekiel's saying there? He said, the Spirit of God lifted me up, and he took me to this place, Kibar, where I'm supposed to dwell among the captives, but I went in bitterness. I didn't want to go. I wasn't happy about going at all. I didn't want to do it, but God told me to do it, and so I went, but I wasn't happy. I read that, and you know who I thought of right away? I thought of Dave Broski. No, I thought of Jonah. I thought of Jonah. It was Jonah, right, who God said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message. And Jonah, what did he do? He went down. He caught a ship to the opposite direction. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. You know why? He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like those people. You say, Mike, how can you really say that? Because after the whale swallowed Jonah and then spit him up on dry ground, and the God said, go back to Nineveh now and preach the preaching, and he did, and they all got saved, Jonah got mad. Jonah got mad because they all got saved. Why did Jonah get mad? He didn't like those people. But he went where God told him to go, but he went in bitterness of heart. And that's exactly what Ezekiel's doing here. Have you ever done that? No, my God, never done that. You know what, folks? We all do that. We all do that. We may not do it on that grand of a scale, but we do it. You know what? I did it a couple weeks ago. I saw this fella in ministry, and he was like really, I mean, he was overloaded. He was really involved heavily. He was just taking a lot on himself. And God spoke to me as I was observing this, and God said, Mike, go ask him if you can help him out. I said, really, Lord? And he said, yes, go ask him if you can help him out. So I went up to him and I said, listen, I feel like I should offer to help you in any way I can. It seems like your plate is really loaded. Can I do something to help you? And he said, really? I said, yes. I said, you know, if there's anything I can do to make your load a little bit lighter, then I'd be glad to do that. He said, let me get back to you on that. And a couple days later, he did. And we got together, and he said, I really appreciate you making this offer. And he took out this paper, and he said, here's what I would like you to do. And I said, really? Really? I didn't really have that in mind. But I didn't say that to him. He had this paper in my mind. I'm saying, really? This is how I'm going to help lighten his load? And so we talked about it, and I said, this will help lighten your load? And he said, oh, man, you won't believe how much this would help me. I said, okay. But in my heart, folks, I was like Ezekiel, who went in bitterness of spirit. But God spoke to me, and I said, yes, and I'm on board now. I'm on board. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what God is dealing here in Ezekiel's life, and this is how he may deal with us. And in case you hadn't got it yet, the point of the message is that sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zone to do things for his glory, and what are we going to do with that? Because it always comes down to a choice. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to serve him. Just like you didn't have to be here today, right? But you're here. You made a choice. And you don't have to serve God either. You don't have to. But God will give you opportunity, and then you have a choice. The point of the message is, what are you going to do with that? That's the point of the message. What are you going to do with that? So, we see Ezekiel. He goes down there to the River Kebar, but he does so with kind of a bitter spirit. But he does it. He does it. He goes. Now, let's pick up and see what happens. Verse 14. He went in bitterness. In the heat of my spirit, he said, I went. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Now, if God's with him, whoa, that's a whole big different thing, isn't it? God's with him now. That's what a blessing. So then he says, verse 15, then I came to them of the captivity at Talabib that dwelt by the river of Kebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So here's the obedience of Ezekiel the priest. He is yielding to the Spirit of God. And we see that in verse 14. And I'm not going to belabor this point because I've been belaboring it up to this point. And that is simply that God speaks to us, and our responsibility is to be obedient to him. And no matter what our attitude about it is, the bottom line is, are we going to obey God or are we not? And that's what we're dealing with here. And Ezekiel says, yes, I will. I will obey God. I will do this. And he does. And then we see that when he does, he ends up in verse 15, and he says, I sat where they sat. In other words, he went to where they were. Now, we talked earlier about Ezekiel being this privileged captive. He had a place of privilege. He had his own place to live. He had rations and so on. He was more of the elite of the captives, like Daniel was and those other guys. And so here he is, and now he goes on down to the River of Kebar. Let me tell you something about the guys in the River of Kebar. In the book of Psalms, you may have read this at some point, I don't know, but if you do any research about studying the Psalms, you'll find that some scholars believe that a number of the Psalms were written in captivity, during the Babylonian captivity, and they give reasons for that. I've done quite a bit of research on that myself. I don't quite agree with all that many of them are, perhaps more than one, but I know for a fact that only one psalm identifies the Babylonian captivity by name, and that is Psalm 137. In Psalm 137, whoever wrote Psalm 137 was one of the captives in Babylon. And this is what they wrote. There's 9 verses long, and I'm not going to read all 9 verses, but listen to this. This is a guy in captivity in Babylon, and this is what he says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then he goes on and he talks a little bit about that. And what we see taking place there in Psalm 137 is simply this. He's identifying, he's describing clearly these captives who are by the river Kibar, who are the average everyday Joe captive living in their slavery, living in their captivity. And these are these people, and they're sad. They're sad people. Their captives say, "Hey, sing us a song from back in Israel. Sing us one of your songs." And they say, "We can't. We're too sad. It's too sad for us. It brings up memories that are too hurtful, too painful for us. It's a painful thing to call back to the lives that we had in freedom because now we're in captivity." That's how these people were living, folks. That's how these people were living. And those are the people that God said to Ezekiel, go down and dwell with those people. And so in verse 15, Ezekiel goes down there and he says this, "I sat where they sat. I lived like they lived. I dwelt like they dwelt. And I did this for 7 days. And I was astonished." You know what Ezekiel's saying? He sat where they sat, and it changed his life. Let me give you a 2024 version of this that maybe more of us can relate to. A couple of years ago, my baby sister died. In fact, it was 2 years ago, I was here and I preached. After we got done with our services, on the way home, I stopped at my older sister's house, who was having a 4th of July celebration, and my baby sister was there, as I expected. And I visited with her, and I didn't stay long. You know, I'm all dressed like this, and they're, you know, they're 4th of July get-ups, you know. But I visited, and we had a little bite to eat and stuff, and I visited with my baby sister, and I never saw her again. I never saw her again. Later that week, she was killed in a tragic accident. She was a widow. She never had children. And so my surviving sisters, I had six sisters, seven actually, but my three living sisters and I went down to Columbus then. And for the next number of months, every Wednesday, we drove down to Columbus and we worked on my baby sister's house, Kathy's house. And we were fixing it up and settling her estate and doing all these things. When we got down there, I was the only guy with my sisters, of course, and so it was falling to me to do guy stuff. You know, I would run to Home Depot, and I was repairing things and doing stuff like that. And I was struck all of a sudden as I drove around Columbus there that on almost every street corner, there was somebody standing there with a sign saying, whatever, out of work, you know, lost my home, lost my job, my dog died. Whatever their signs say, but they're wanting a handout. Every corner, almost every corner. Every time I'd pull up to the stoplight, guy walk up to my window with a sign. Now, you know, that was not new to me as far as knowing that that kind of thing existed. I'd seen that before, but I'd never seen it in that magnitude. I'd never seen it like every time I stopped, someone's shoving a sign in my face, you know. Used to be I would be like, I'd pass these people, and my attitude would be like this. All right, listen now. And some of you can identify with this. Some of you more spiritual folks cannot. But I would drive by and it'd be sort of like this. Get a job! You know? That was my attitude. Get a job! You know? What are you doing out here? Why should I give you money? That was my attitude. I got down in Columbus. And about that time in my life, in my personal devotions, I read Ezekiel 3. And I came to verse 15. Where Ezekiel went and sat where they sat. And just like that little boy in Sunday school who heard, what shall I profit a man? God struck my heart. He said, Mike, you need to learn to sit where people sit. And so now I'm in Columbus and I see this guy shoving a sign in my face. And all of a sudden my attitude is not, get a job. My attitude is, what brought him to this point in his life? Are all those people legitimate? You know, I don't know. I doubt it. But you know what? Some are. Some people are hurting bad. Some people have faced tremendous loss bad. Some people's lives have been turned upside down through circumstances not of their doing. And they've come to resort to holding a sign in front of strangers saying, can you give me some money?
If you sat where they sat, if God said to you, get a sign and write on that sign, please help, I need some money. And go stand on a street corner in Bellevue, and when people drive by and stop at the light, walk up and hold that sign in front of them. How would that make you feel? Do you know what the point of this message is? Folks, we live every day. We do our thing, and we drive, and we go, and we have happy times, we have hard times, we have sad times, and life just flies by us, and there are people all around us that are crushed. There are people all around us who are hurting. There are people all around us who are desperate people. And you know what we do? Get a job! That's what we do. God may be saying to somebody here today, you need to leave your elite status for a day or two and go sit where they sit. Because when Ezekiel did that for 7 days, he says he sat astonished. You know what happened to Ezekiel in 7 days? It changed his life. I believe that Ezekiel went at this point. During that week, I think Ezekiel went from being Ezekiel the priest to being Ezekiel the prophet. That's when he became the prophet Ezekiel, the man that God would live through, the man that God would use, the man who would carry God's message, the man who would speak and with a message that could change people's lives. But he never could be that man until he sat where they sat. So now, we have a question. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? It's kind of a scary question. You know, it's a scary question. Because you might be sitting here saying, oh, Mike, I so want God to use me. I so want God to use me. I so want that. But if he asked me to do something like, you know, go stand on a street corner with a sign, now we then are starting to put up barriers, and we're saying to God, in effect, God, you don't understand. can you imagine how silly that sounds? God, you don't understand. No, I guess not. I just created everything, including you. I know every hair on your head. I know everything about you. I know every thought you've ever had. And I guess I don't understand. It's silly to say, God, you don't understand. God understands everything. God understands more than you can comprehend, understand. God understands more than you can come up with to say he doesn't understand. But we get this attitude like, God, I don't think I could do that. Then why would God tell you to do it? Why would God ask you to do it? God's never going to say to you, I want you to do thus and such if you cannot do it. He's never going to do that. God's never going to do that. And we can say all we want, folks. Excuse me. We can say all we want, God, you don't understand. But God does understand. He does understand. And so it comes down to this. This is what it really comes down to. It comes down to our choice. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? Have you ever been in a service, a church service, where there was a special guest or something in there, and there was an activity, and this guy was doing something remarkable, and the pastor said, all right, we really need to support this guy's ministry, so we're going to take up a special offering. And so now I want you to all dig in your purses and your wallets now, and I want you to give extra, and we're going to support this guy's ministry, but we're going to pray first, and I want you to ask God what it is that he wants you to give to help support this guy. Have you ever been in a service like that? I've been in a service. You say, oh, no, we don't do that here. Right? Well, okay, but I've been in churches where they've done that, all right? And I've had that happen to me, and I prayed, all right, God, now what is it you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? And there have been times that God says, like, give them $100. And I'm like, are you serious, God? You know, that's my attitude. That's my heart attitude. But if God says, yeah, I want you to give them $100, now I've got a choice. I don't have to give them $100. I mean, nobody else heard God say that to me, right? I don't have to give it. But I know God said to give it. How do I deal with that? Well, we deal with it like this. I'm either obedient or I'm not. And it comes down to the same thing here, folks, with everything. Same thing. God says, I want you to go sit where they sit. You might say in your heart, I don't want to do that. God says, okay. God's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you do it. But he gives you a choice. And you know the outcome of that choice. You say, well, what if they don't listen? That isn't the point. He already said that in verse 11. Doesn't matter if they listen or not. The point is, are you going to be obedient or not? That's the point. And from that point, you have to live with the choice you make because you know that God knows. This is a happy place to quit, isn't it? All right? We're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you when we pray, just open your heart to God. Say, God, where would you have me live this message? Where would you have me live this sermon? You want me to go sit where somebody sits? Then show me who that is. If your heart is really tender and open to God, he'll show you. He'll show you. And if you don't get anything from God, like God, then, you know, you might walk out here saying, hey, God didn't tell me to go sit where anyone sits. Maybe God's not done. You know, maybe next week he will. Maybe next week you'll be driving along and you'll see a situation and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will write, bam, he'll hit you and he'll say, enter into their sorrow. Enter into their grief. Enter in. Enter in. Enter in. Are you open to doing that? Are you? Would you be open to doing that? Would you? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, this message that you've laid on my heart, and Lord, you laid this on my heart several years ago. But Lord, I pray this morning that you would take this message, and that, Lord, you would speak to those of us here who need to hear it. Lord, you know who those people are. You know who we are. And God, I'm just asking you to touch our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd show us where to sit. Show us whose sorrows to enter into. Show us whose needs to enter into. Show us hurting people. Lord, show us hurting people. God, help us to see, Father, that the world around us is full of desperate people, people who need Jesus. People who need comfort, people who need love, people who need help. God, you didn't just save our souls and leave us here on this earth to just sing zippity-doo-dah, I'm on my way to heaven. Can't wait till I get there, Jesus. Lord, we have a mission. Make that clear to every one of us what our mission is. I pray you would do that for our benefit and for your glory. Now, Lord, I pray each of us take just a minute here, lift our hearts to you, saying, God, show me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, bless the choices we make. May you be glorified. We ask it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Let's